We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay. With me, my guy, Jack Manuel. And Jack, the season is finally over.
23-24, done.
It was not a fun season. We're going to talk about that and plenty more. Make sure you check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. Also, subscribe and review. But Jack, where do we start?
Nick, describe the Nets 23-24 season in one word.
This is a tough one, and you hit me with this a little late, so I'm just going to go with what came to my mind right away. I would say tedious. You know, it was just like long, it got boring, you just wanted it to kind of be over. And every single night, there wasn't that level of excitement or hope or something to look forward to. You know, you could probably argue like the last 2 weeks of the season had more excitement than majority of the year.
Yeah, I went with another T word. I went with turbulent. I was deciding, was it turbulent? Was it tumultuous? It was probably both. It was probably all the bad T adjectives you want to describe. But it's done and dusted. A pretty poor record. Not much to choose from. But we'll be doing a heap of season review stuff looking forward. But we need to get stuck into some news, Nick. And the big news is that the Nets have been on the search for their head coach. And there's a few names that are popping up. Who do you think will be the next Nets head coach after hearing the recent news about Budenholzer, Chris Quinn, Kevin Young, these sort of guys? Do you have a preference personally? Do you have somewhere where you think the direction Sean Marks and Joe Tsai will go, which does seem to be a collaborative decision from all that we've heard?
Yeah, and we've heard that, you know, Joe Tsai has been, you know, is making in-person interviews for this. Either he has or he's going to moving forward. We also heard from Brian Lewis today that there are still a couple candidates technically still in the mix. The Sham said it was only three, but there maybe could be, you know, some other guys still in the running. I mean, at this point, I haven't really dug deep enough to really give you the guy that I want. But, you know, I wouldn't mind one of the young assistants just because it's unknown. You know, you could be getting a really, really good coach. And not to say Coach Bud isn't a good coach. He's not the best coach in the league. And I think there are some, you know, limitations to you eventually get there. But if the Nets wanted to find a stabilizer, you know, Coach Bud could be that guy, get them back to the playoffs. But the young assistants is a little bit more unknown, and they could really, you know, pop off. And you've talked about a lot about other young assistants that have become head coaches in the league and how they've really just grown into just very creative guys. And I think that's what you want, is guys that are creative and can adapt and really have to do the dirty work to get to this spot. So In my opinion, I'd probably want to go with the unproven, you know, assistant coach at this time, just because who knows where the Nets are going to be in the next year or two. There's no guarantee they're going to get a star and be able to contend. They might end up in a rebuild, and that's where a young guy would probably even make more sense.
Yeah, I mean, I've made my thoughts known, and, you know, Jordy Fernandez and Chris Quinn are probably two guys that I've been a bit of an advocate for, and you can listen to previous episodes to hear me talk about that. But I'm starting to somewhat warm to the idea of Mike Budenholzer a little bit, Nick, because, you know, this is a guy that is maybe the ultimate floor raiser. He is a championship head coach as well, and probably left under pretty acrimonious circumstances. You know, him departing Milwaukee, you know, obviously the flame out to the Miami Heat, but he was also going through some pretty personal, you know, traumatic circumstances with the death of a family member. So like I think he's a really, really good coach, given what he's done in Atlanta, given what he, and, you know, he's sort of got that connection to the Nets franchise as well. So look, I wouldn't hate Mike Budenholzer by any stretch of the imagination. And we also did see, you know, Brian Lewis post quite a few articles in relation to Budenholzer in terms of talking about it, like former disciples of his talking about how good of a coach he would be and how he deserved to be in the league. So whether that's the Nets somewhat prepping, you know, the fan base for, you know, the possible, you know, hiring of Mike Budenholzer, I wouldn't hate it, but it seems to me he seems like the likely candidate right now, but we could be surprised. You know, we've heard, you know, all the different interviews that have been happening. We've heard that, you know, Kevin Ollie's in the race. We've heard like so many other different names, James Borrego, a lot of other different candidates. But yeah, for me, I personally have an affiliation for going down the route of a Chris Quinn, who's got, you know, great pedigree in Miami alongside Eric Spoelstra, Jordy Fernandez, who's had international experience, you know, leading the Canada team.
Well, I think that's what kind of makes him maybe a little bit different from some of the other assistants, because he's been at least a head coach at some level, you know, and obviously has dealt with high level players and, you know, has kind of worked up his ranks in, you know, world basketball. So it'll be interesting kind of how it plays out. And I think with the other guys you mentioned, you know, Chris Quinn, he feels like he's been grinding in Miami for a very long time. Just his name has come up a lot the last couple of years. Kevin Young with Phoenix, a lot of talk about his like offensive mind and what's going on over there. So, I mean, and Ali did okay. You know, I don't think he did anything that like would land him the job, but it's good for him to still be in the cycle. And like you said, Coach Bud is a solid, you know, coaching hire. That's like a coaching hire that they probably wish that they had on the last two, you know, where they've gone really bad, where it's like the ceiling for the Steve Nash thing, it could have really popped, but the floor was super low and we saw that hit and that's what happened. And maybe if they had Coach Bud in that situation, not to say he was available, this is just a hypothetical, you know, the situation might have gone completely different. So I could understand why the Nets would be like, you know what, maybe we'll stop swinging heavy for head coaches and just go with the known quantity here. And you know, Coach Bud is that guy. And like you said, he's done it with Atlanta. He's done it with Milwaukee. And maybe you get to the playoffs and you can't get to a championship. But right now, the playoffs sound really good.
Yeah, I think he would immediately imprint an identity on the team. And I think but by the next time we record, we could have the hiring. Yeah. It seems to me that this is imminent.
This week seems likely.
It does. So like in the coming days, you know, some of the stuff we're discussing. So make sure you listen to this one quickly. But in saying that, you know, Nets Daily posted an article said that, and this was, I took this away from him. He's like, Marks is known to be an avid fan of Budenholzer, believing him to be the best X's and O's coach in the league. Marks both played under Budenholzer and worked with him in San Antonio, and the two share two NBA rings. Budenholzer, however, is also known as being abrasive. So, like, I think that if we go back to, you know, Kenny Atkinson, the first hiring, you know, a disciple of Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta. And
similar styles.
Look at similar styles. We look at some, you know, the Steve Nash hiring had the connection with Sean Marks. You know, Josiah loved the sort of splashy sort of name hire. It seems maybe they go there's two routes they could take. They could go that Kenny route or they could go that Steve Nash route. Now, the Steve Nash route is the name, the one who's got the sort of the cachet next to her and has the sort of connection, the former connection with the GM who'll be part of the hiring process. And we'll get to Sean Marks and his future in Brooklyn in a little bit. But yeah, it seems to me that there's two routes that they could take. And it seems to me that Mike Budenholzer is the experienced candidate. Doesn't seem to be there are other names in the list, which I'm actually happy about because I think he's probably the best of that list. And I think the Nets are eager to make a hire because there could be some other teams moving some things, moving some chairs too. So we'll wait and see. But it seems to me that the Nets aren't. We sort of spoke about when we heard about this happening, the process, and we're like, we want it to be extensive. We want it to be thorough. And it seems to me, to Josiah and Sean Marks' credit, it seems to be that.
Yeah, I think if ownership's getting involved, like part of the process and he's doing in-person interviews, that's a good thing. So we'll kind of see how that all plays out in terms of that. But I mean, like you said, next head coach for the Nets could happen very, very soon. I will say, I don't want to say it's concerning, but it's eyebrow raising where Sean Marks thinks Coach Bud is the best X's and O's coach in the NBA. I think that's like, I wouldn't say that, but hey, you know, he's obviously a GM. So I'm just throwing that out.
No, I mean, yeah, I agree. That's clearly like a semi little leak from Sean to Bob.
Because like he just doesn't adapt well. We've seen it firsthand. I mean, like the Nets series in which they lost to the Bucks in round two, and the Nets had no players. They had no business extending that to seven. He let Kevin Durant win a game five. Why would you let Kevin Durant win game five? I remember hearing KD on a podcast and just talk about how like he was surprised at the coverage they're running against him. Yeah, me too. I was like, why are they not forcing the ball out of his hands? This guy is on fire. So that's where I get a little nervous with him. He seems at times like a guy who can get frazzled on the sideline, like, and not have the answers for an adjustment out there and just keeps going with whatever system he's had in place.
Yeah, look, there are negatives to him, and maybe we discussed that on a podcast where he is eventually the high, and you alluded to a lot of them. But I think that those negatives are probably going to come into play as much in a team where the Nets currently stand.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think part of the process.
Yeah. No, and if the Nets do keep Kevin Ollie on board, which I'd be, you know, and maybe Michael Mahoza brings in a few of his own sort of guys. But yeah, I didn't know a lot about like the staff behind Mike Bullenhoser either. So maybe that's part of it as well. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. But any other final sort of coaching thoughts, Nick, before we move on to the GM?
Yeah, I'll just say with the assistant coaches, it's harder to point out negative things because they've never coached before in terms of a head coach. So hey, Coach Bud, we have a large sample size, so we have an idea what he is. The other guys, it's all a mystery. Like, they could sound amazing on paper and they could hire him. They could end up being a bad coach.
I have heard some mixed reactions to Kevin Young in Phoenix. Some people are a fan of his style and the implementation of some of the offensive stuff. Some are frustrated. Yeah. And are not. Yeah. So that's something to consider. Obviously, you know, we're not Phoenix Suns fans, even though Kevin Durant is playing there. We want their downfall because we got those picks. But yeah, something to keep an eye on. Something to definitely keep an eye on. But Nick, Sean Marks is going to be around at least through next season. This news was literally dropped in the middle of a game, at halftime. Like,
in
that
a game,
to me,
the Nets were playing well too. They were playing well in that first half.
I was just like, wait, what's going on here? Like, it just seems to me like weird timing. Whether like he's just like he's submitting posts for Brian Lewis. He's got the login on the WordPress for the New York Post or something.
They got a private line.
They got the private line. He's got the Chrome Incognito or something. But I don't know. Obviously, you and I probably have our personal thoughts about this, but what was your initial reaction? And now, with some time removed from it, how do you feel about Sean Marks sticking around at least for another season longer in Brooklyn land?
Honestly, there wasn't much of a reaction because I think we thought it was pretty likely. You know, everything we've heard about the relationship between Josiah and Sean Marks has been that they're close, they're tight, and he seemed like maybe a tad nervous on his last presser, but still we haven't heard like any leaks that were saying like his seat is super hot or anything like that. And just the rumors in terms of how we've heard about the Nets plans, you know, the fact that they're probably going to try to add a star this summer, like they don't want to, you know, that means that's something Marks would want to do. And that means Cy and him are already lined up. So it was just kind of like, well, I'm not really surprised. It's disappointing, but it's not surprising.
Yeah, the key quote from the article is, Marks may have lost the confidence of the louder portions of the Nets fan base. He's directly referencing me, it sounds like. but he still holds the confidence of Nets team owner Joe Tsai. That's basically it. And look, there are plenty of things and I got into some back and forth with people. There are plenty of people who support Sean Marks, but I think you can acknowledge someone's strengths, which we know Sean Marks is a wonderful drafter. That's probably his greatest strength. He knows how to find a diamond in the rough when it comes to free agency. He did that with Lonnie Walker, Dennis Smith Jr., Trenton Watford. All three of those guys, absolute massive wins. But when it comes to bigger decisions, it seems to me that's where he's fallen short. So look, I'm not I discussed this with the Locked On lads on a great episode that is still a lot of evergreen content if you want to check it out. I discussed with them and Doug asked me, he's like, would you care if Sean Marks sticks around, but they rebuild it? And for me, it was just like, look, as long as the right decisions are made, so the right decisions, the next right decision that has to be made is the head coach. The other right decision that has to be made this offseason is the contract surrounding Nick Claxton. The decision-making is more important than the person making the decisions, but I have less confidence in Sean Marks' history of decision-making in terms of how he's going to go about this process. Now, again, people who maybe argue with me and you about, like, you guys hate Sean Marks or you guys got to give more credit. It's just like, yeah, we will. If the Nets are good, like, we were like almost Sean Mark stands. Like I called him a wizard back in the old Brooklyn Buzz days. You know, things we were thankful for at Thanksgiving. Like Sean Marks was top of the list for me. Like listen to 5, 6, 7 years ago when, you know, we were in our 20s and babies and we didn't have kids and long-term jobs and that sort of thing. Like we were on the Sean Marks.
Even when Mark signed KD and Kyrie, I mean, he got a lot of credit for that. That was a big thing. Even Mark's trading for James Harden, that like it looks bad in hindsight, but at the time it was a massive thing. And he created arguably one of the best teams potentially ever. And you'll never see it. You know, it never came to fruition, give to injuries, drama, COVID, all those types of things. But, I mean, like you said, Marks has done good things, but he's also not produced enough. And this is a business of production. You know, he's won one playoff series and he's lost superstars and it just hasn't gone well. There's been ups, but there's been downs. And when you're kind of even for this long in this industry, you're probably going to get kicked out because being mediocre is just not good enough. And that's where the Nets have essentially been in terms of like average. It's been around being just like a mediocre team. They haven't had any great success. So in my opinion, you know, getting him fired was not a huge thing. It's not crazy. He's been here for a while.
He has. And look, how long he lasts remains to be seen. But him continuing to be the figurehead at key decisions for the Nets, like he's hired and fired 4 or 5 head coaches. It's just weird. Like so many other guys where it's just like, if I had like 40 kids failing, like would I continue to like keep my job and retain my position, you know, trading James Harden? Like there's plenty of bad decisions that Sean Mark has made. We can dive into that. I think he's at best an average GM. I think at worst he can make some really poor decisions, but I think at best he is, you know, a slightly above average GM. I think this is going to be a key off season in determining the direction of the team. It seems to me him and Joe Tsai still have some form of strong working relationship, whether that is the right thing or the wrong thing. It's not for us to sort of debate. It just is what it is. Those are the facts. So, yeah, that's Sean Marks. Nick, any final thoughts on
I would just summarize it as like he's had 3 big swings that have been failures. You know, like he had the run that's KD, Kyrie, James Harden, didn't work. He had KD and Kyrie, didn't work, was able to get them to stay, then couldn't get the contract extension done with Kyrie. And now that happens. And then this last season is his worst season as a GM because there was a level of expectations. The Nets didn't hit it. And they also made massive mistakes behind the scenes saying that they, you know, were relying a lot on Ben Simmons, a guy who hasn't been healthy the last couple seasons. So it's just bad all around. The roster construction was not great this year. So I think it doesn't help that he's been, again, average throughout, and then this is his worst season, is his last season, and that kind of says like, hey, he's not trending upward. So that's usually when you get fired. You want to get him out before they hit rock bottom.
Yeah, there's plenty of mistakes, and lots of people have like listed them. You know, the Kevin Durant trade, did that leave a lot to be desired? He paid Joe Harris and Cam Johnson. He didn't trade Mikhail back for those picks. You know, keeping Ben when, you know, there was maybe some interest in
not
him.
Not trading Joe Harris when he still had a level of value to arguably land, potentially at the time, rumors of Aaron Gordon, Jeremy Grant, or Miles Turner.
Yeah, so there's lots of decisions Sean Marks has or hasn't made that leave a lot to be desired. But at the end of the day, he's leading that team, and so is Joe Tsai. Did you have any final Marks thoughts before we get to the owner of the team?
Not really. You know, we could dive into it probably for over an hour. So check the last couple episodes.
Yeah, we'll get to the owner himself. And Nick, what were your immediate reactions to seeing clips? I don't know if you watched the business podcast that Joe Tsai was on. I think that it's sort of like discussing the Mikal Bridges sort of friendship stuff. What was your immediate reaction to some of the comments that Joe Tsai made in terms of, you know, the business of owning the Nets and owning an asset in Brooklyn, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I think it wasn't surprising. Again, you know, it wasn't the greatest thing to hear, but it's not surprising a billionaire cares about his money and making money and staying rich. You know, that's kind of how he got there. He's made plenty of hard decisions, and sure, he wants to win, but if he can't win and he can still make money, that's fine. He'd rather probably win and make money because it sounds cool. He has a huge ego. He's a billionaire. They want to be successful. Obviously, we've seen what he's trying to do with the Liberty. Obviously, they went to the final. So he wants the Nets to be good. It's just a matter of like, if they aren't, it's okay, because guess what? I'm still making money. And that's his goal. And I mean, Most of our goal, I think, in life is making money rather than, you know, if you had a chance to win $1 billion and the Nets win a championship, I'm pretty sure you're taking $1 billion.
Yeah, I think he prioritizes money over winning. That's fine. That's what businesses do. The Nets are a business for him. But yeah, it doesn't mean we agree with a lot of Josiah and Sean Marks' decision making. So we'll see how things pan out for the team moving forward, Nick.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Honestly, I'm more excited to do off-season episodes now that the season is over and there's some potential for change. It could end up being very similar to what we saw last year, but there's also a chance we could have some excitement. So, Jack, looking forward to that. Big thanks, everybody, for listening. Check the buzz on all streaming platforms.